Well, today I'm going to do something that might be unusual. I would like to give a report to you and kind of preach throughout the report. This has been an amazing 2 years, 2.5 years for my family, and we have seen God do some wonderful things. And we are just amazed and thankful. So I'd like to just start walking you through this last 2.5 years and describe some things and talk about some people in the church there in Cambodia, as well as open up the scriptures about some of these things. We arrived back on the field in the beginning of 2005. We found ourselves with a new baby. New teammates, Chris and Heidi Seawright, had been on the field learning the language in Phnom Penh, and they were going to join us in Poh Sat, Cambodia, right when we arrived. We had a new home, new neighbors. All of those that we had worked with who showed interest in the gospel and those that were teaching the word of God during the end of our first term, they had all moved out of the area to a man. And so we were completely starting over there in 2005. And during that year, we started doing various things to make contacts and reach people. We started selling books in the market in Poh Sat. We started distributing tracts and Gospels of John's and things of that nature in the market, preaching in the market, started just getting my Bible and finding spots around the market there and just start talking to the crowds and preaching for 5-10 minutes on various parables of the Lord, prodigal son, rich man and Lazarus, things like this. We would go through the countryside and find little markets and groups of people sitting, talking and working on motorcycles or whatever, and just start talking to them and preaching to them. Our goal and prayer was to have 3 evangelistic Bible studies going by the end of the year. And by the end of 2005, not a single person in Poh Sat was interested in us or the gospel at all. And we had preached and preached and passed out tracts and done all these things with no fruit. As you can imagine, we were facing discouragement about that. We were praying much and we were getting burdened about how could we expend so much labor and have so much prayer on our behalf and still not see anything happen. So we were discouraged by that. In February, you may recall a certain prayer letter that we sent out. It was very brief. The prayer letter in February of 2006 said, "Dear family and friends, pray for God's mercy and grace upon us and the people of Poh Sat. We need to see the power of God working in the lives of people for His glory. Our request is that you pray for this daily until you receive our next letter." Greatly burdened. Some of you got that prayer letter and started praying. And we started getting a number of emails from people saying, "We got this prayer letter. We know that you're very burdened right now. We are going to pray every day until God starts to work." God answered. In the next couple of months, we didn't have just 3 evangelistic Bible studies going. We had 9. We weren't going and begging people now to study God's word and to listen to us give the gospel. Now we had people coming to us. Adults, teenagers, children from various places asking us to teach them the word of God. What a turnaround. God answered that prayer. We put out a call for prayer. Many responded to that call, and then God chose to answer it immediately with 9 evangelistic Bible studies. Out of these 9 evangelistic Bible studies came 3 church planting efforts. I'd like to talk about each one of these and some scriptures that apply to them. The first one of these is Ron's family. Ron was my barber. I can get a haircut. I can have my eyebrows trimmed and my nose with a razor. You know, my nose all nice and my ears taken care of just nice and everything. All for $1. I come to the States and they charge me $12 and they do nothing to my ears or my eyebrows or anything. Well, he was my barber, and I would witness to him about every time I went in there, and he always had questions for me, and we would talk, and he finally asked us to come to his home and teach him the Bible. so we did. We started going to his house, and Ron was a very poor man. His thatched house had holes in the roof and in the walls, and, you know, very poor family. But they professed Christ after several weeks of just concentrated teaching and an evangelistic preaching time that was in his home with his neighbors. He and his wife and his younger brother came to Christ. And they were baptized in the creek there in his village, along with our daughter Savannah, who was baptized along with them. And we began to have church services there and teach them how to worship and had the Lord's table there and tried to reach the neighbors through that family as well. But in their poverty, they began to fall into the temptation of looking to foreign patrons who would give them handouts and things. And there is a pseudo-Christian group in Posat that give a lot of handouts in order to get people into their church, but they didn't teach the Word of God or preach the gospel at all. And finally, Ron's family gave in to the pressure and the inability of trusting the Lord with their needs and turned to this group. And so we lost that church plant that we had begun there in that village. And it was a very trying time for us. We labored with that family. We spent hours and hours teaching the Word of God and praying with them and evangelizing with them. And then they fell away. I trust that Ron's family, that they are born again. I hope they are. But our ability to work with them further was gone. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 tells us about Demas. Paul says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed." That is the trial and the sorrow of the ministry of the gospel. Those with whom you labor that fall away. And that's a part of the ministry. You can't get around that. And that sorrow is there for all who have the ministry of the gospel. Maybe someday this family will come back to the Lord. A second church planting effort we had is the one with the most fruit. It's called the Inheritance of Christ Church. You say, did you name that church? No. We asked them, what do you want to call this church? And they said, Inheritance of Christ. I said, well, you can't get a better name than that. Let's just go with that. So Inheritance for Christ Church. I'd like to explain to you how God worked to bring about this church. We had begun to have evangelistic Bible studies in a small cafe in a rundown wooden market in Posat there. And we began to have evangelistic Bible studies on Sunday nights. And we began to try to promote this and try to get people to come out. And there were probably about 20 unsaved people that visited and heard as I would give these preaching sessions at this cafe. But the lost people just weren't interested. They would come once and then leave. But we started to gather a cluster of professing Christians that heard about this and started coming. Well, we didn't do this for professed Christians. We were doing this for lost people. And these professed Christians started coming. There were five of them. And all I would do is I would open up to the Gospel of John without any notes. And I would just start explaining, verse by verse, the Gospel of John. When these professed Christians heard this, they were absolutely shocked. They had never heard teaching from God's Word that amounted to anything. And they had no comprehension of the truths in the Gospel of John. They were taping my preaching. They were sending the tapes to Cambodian Americans here in the States to listen. We finally decided that since this group of five people was a part of a charismatic church in the area there, like an orphanage kind of a church there in Posat, that we didn't want to get the name of being a sheep stealer, because that's the worst thing that can happen to you in Cambodia, is to be called a sheep stealer. So we were trying to avoid that. So we said, we're just going to stop this. Lost people aren't coming and these professed Christians are coming. We're just going to stop this and try to cut it off. Feeling all along, sorry that they want the Word of God so much, but they're part of this other group. Well, we stopped the Bible study there because lost people were not coming. And this group of five people kept coming to my house. Will you help us start a church? Why? Because we want the Word of God. Well, you have the Word of God where you are. Yeah, but the preacher doesn't understand the Word of God. He doesn't know anything in the Bible. Well, you just go back to your church. We're not interested. Finally, they came to me one day and said, you know, this church doesn't teach the truth. We want you to teach us the truth about who Christ is and the gospel. I said, okay, when are we going to start this church? So that group of five called together other interested people, and about 20 people met us, I believe, six different nights. And we just preached our heart out for about an hour and a half, about six or seven times, on the meaning of the gospel, repentance, and the need to be baptized upon repentance of sin. And 13 adults professed Christ and were baptized as a result of that. Those who had been going to this other church of sorts had no comprehension of the gospel except for maybe one of them. They had all been baptized by a Korean missionary who had come through and just told everyone in the province, whoever wants to be a Christian, just come down the river. And all these people were baptized, and virtually no one understood the gospel at all. And these people had been baptized like that. They had all realized they never understood the gospel, and they wanted to believe in Christ in truth and be baptized in truth. And they did. And thus was the beginning of the inheritance of Christ's church. 13 adults all at one time. That was a hallelujah blessing for us for sure. After all of the work we'd done and not seen anyone even interested, to all of a sudden have 13 people come to Christ all at once. Trials began. The people began to be persecuted immediately. In Cambodia, if you profess Christ, that's no problem. But if you really believe in Christ in truth, there's a problem. If you believe in Christ and add him to Buddhism, that's fine. But if you repent and turn away from your false beliefs and begin to obey Jesus Christ, now there's a problem. So they began to experience a lot of verbal persecution. And it was hard for them at first, but they persevered. Four of the church members had to be church disciplined after the first couple of months. One of them, whose father is a witch doctor of sorts, wanted her to go to the temple and perform ceremonies, and she just couldn't tell her father no. And she said she couldn't not go, keep going, even though she said she didn't believe what she was doing, and so she had to be church disciplined. Another two were afraid of what their family members would do to them financially if they continued to follow Christ, and so they stopped coming. And another one fell into drunkenness. Of those four, two have since repented and come back to the church, praise the Lord. And by the end of the year, 2006, there were 17 adult believers who had been baptized and added to the church. Open up your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. One thing that has been just an amazing reality to me is the simplicity of the ministry of the gospel. I am a simple person. We have very simple ministry. All we do is teach people God's word. No tricks, no lures, no super expensive attempts to replace the Holy Spirit. And yet these people are believing in Christ simply from the spoken word. It's so simple. And then the church life is so simple. Baptism is so simple. Have you ever thought about baptism? How basic and simple is that ordinance of the Lord? And yet the meaning is so deep, so incredible. The Lord's table, how simple it is. But what meaning. Anyone, anywhere in the world can experience baptism in the Lord's table in any circumstance. It's so simple. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Here it is, the working of the word of God. They heard the word of God, they received it not as the word of men, but as it was in truth, the word of God. And what a blessing it was when this group of people asked me to come teach the word, and I opened the word, and this reverence for the word of God as I spoke the gospel to them. And watching all of these in submission to the Lord call out on the Lord for salvation. The simplicity and yet the power of this. Is the gospel simple or complicated? Trick question. It's very simple, but it's very complicated. The giving of the gospel is easy. It's simple. It's almost too simple to our minds. But it's complex because what issue is it? It is a spiritual matter. It requires the Holy Spirit to open the minds and hearts of those people, which is what he did in this church. Verse 14, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Just as the believers here in Thessalonica had experienced persecution immediately upon their faith in Jesus Christ, so these believers in Cambodia and Posat have experienced this. Verbal abuse is heavy. Financial. In Cambodia, people are very reliant on family members, one another, to help them in time of need. And when a person becomes a Christian and they're in need and they go to their uncle's house and say, Uncle, can you lend me $5 so I can buy some rice today? We just didn't make enough at the market today to cover our expenses. Can you put me $5? They say, no, let Jesus do that for you. I've heard that I don't know how many times. These kinds of issues that they face in persecution. Look at verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. This is the good part about the ministry of the gospel. You endure the sorrows. You feel terrible about those who have fallen away. You feel like you've wasted your life on people that have gone away. But then there are those who receive the word of God in truth. They're converted. They are added to the church. And it is these who are our hope or joy, our crown of rejoicing. As a missionary in Cambodia, what is my crown of rejoicing? What is my joy? It's these people who have believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have had the privilege of being in Cambodia, in the middle of nowhere, with these people. You know, when I became ill to where I had to come home, I was in really bad shape. I had to come home. I had to be wheelchaired to the various airports. I could barely walk. I was just in a terrible position. And I was preparing myself for being unable to go back to Cambodia. And I confess to you that I have shed many tears over the possibility of being unable to go back there. Why? Because we love it. What a joy it is to be there and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So my prayer since I've been here has been, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. I haven't even prayed for my health. I've prayed for God's will to be done, trying to prepare myself for the possibility of not going back to Cambodia because we love it so much, what we do. But those people are our joy. Let me tell you about Sripo. Sripo is one of the original 13 people that came to Christ in Inheritance of Christ Church. She was a very loud, angry, abusive woman. When she came to the Lord, she probably is known in her area as being the town gossip. You know, the woman that, you know, if you mess with her, you're in trouble because she'll beat you to death with her tongue. That kind of a person. Well, she came to Christ and very simple minded. And she it takes a lot of teaching to get her to understand things about the scripture, but she believes Christ in truth. And when she believed in Christ, she began to experience intense persecution. She's very poor and she makes these little cakes that she carries around and sells throughout the neighborhood. And everywhere she would go, she would be mocked and derided about being a Christian. And immediately as she came to Christ, one of the first things she had to get over was her abusive tongue. Because now she's a Christian and she knows all those people are going to go to hell when they die and she's not. And so now people start talking to her. What does she do? Well, you're all going to go to hell now because you don't believe like I do. And she started speaking that with such abrasive words and tongue. So we had to work with her about her speech. But, you know, she is a very bold witness for Christ now. Over these months, she's been able to get a handle on her tongue, as we've taught them through the book of James. She's learned by God's grace, and now she is one of the most active witnesses in the group. Sripo had much more to deal with in her tongue. Her husband, Pisat. Maybe you who have read our prayer letters and prayed for us recall the name Pisat. This man, her husband, is a teacher of philosophy in the high school. He's also a drunken bum. He was the kind of man that would drink all day long and be in a perpetual state of drunkenness. And he only retained his job at the school because of friendship ties he had with people in the school. He was abusive to Sripo and their children. He used up all the money that Sripo would make when she'd sell her cake. She'd come home and he'd demand money to go drinking. And so immediately we had all of this time with her with the Word of God. How do you deal with this man? And then we would witness to Pisat. And he would be drunk most of the time when we saw him. He would come to our church services and prayer meetings and come in and start blaspheming Christ while we are praying, while we are teaching. I had to physically remove him myself more than once. Not in fighting, but just helping me out the door. This man would tell us that he wanted to believe in Christ, but he didn't want to turn from his sin. Finally, just last month, in the last couple of months, Pisat has believed the gospel of Christ in truth. He hasn't drunk a drop of alcohol in over a month. He has aggressively studied the Word of God and has grown incredibly. The power of the gospel in this man. And that's not all. His wife, Sripo. People were telling her, you need to divorce this man. Get rid of this bum. He's a worthless wretch. You need to divorce him. And we took her to 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Sripo breathed those verses for months, trying to learn how to be submissive to such a wicked man. And now, after a year of abuse, her husband has believed the gospel. And not only that, I believe all five of their six children have believed, and several teenage children have been baptized. God has answered prayer, and God has worked in their lives. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at the power of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Such were you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. What is missions? It is simply preaching the Word of God. That's all. It's simple. It's just like here. Communicating the Word of God to people and seeing the Holy Spirit deal with them. That is the ministry. And sometimes it brings great sorrow, but the joys are many. So we had one church planting attempt that failed. We had one that has succeeded and God is continuing to bless. While we've been here, people are continuing to be added to the church. Chris is baptizing people. I said, Chris, will you stop it? Wait for me to get back there. You better not overtake me in the number of baptisms you're doing. No, just kidding. But the Lord has continued to bless. There's a third situation, and that is a woman by the name of Combe, we've mentioned her in our prayer letters. This woman is the family member of some people that we once ministered to when we helped start churches in the Phnom Penh area when we first arrived in Cambodia. They had a family member that lived in Posat. So we moved up to Posat. We went out in the countryside, way out in the middle of nowhere, to visit this woman. And we went and visited her on their behalf several times. And she was completely, had no desire to listen about Christ at all. And we just happened to make our routine visit after several months out there again to check up on her. And this time, the first thing that she said to me is, I want you to teach me the Bible. Okay, we'll do that. So we started teaching her the Word of God, and others of her neighbors would gather out of curiosity to come and listen. But she was the only one that received the gospel. She was converted. She was baptized in the river there, right near her home. And she's the only person to come to Christ in that village, and there is not another believer within 7 kilometers of her home. She's all by herself there in that village. We have preached the gospel. We've had preaching meetings in that village. We've shown a video there. We've gone door to door. We've passed out tracts and cassette tapes of Bible teaching all through that whole area. And this woman is the only one that has believed in Christ. And she has experienced great loneliness and persecution. She has been treated poorly by her neighbors, derided for being a Christian. And yet she continues to grow in Christ. She could barely read. And when she became a Christian, she started reading her Bible every day. And now her reading is better than her children who are in school. Because she wants the Word of God. She's a simple farmer woman. She's a widow. But she loves Jesus Christ. And there she is. We've been seeking to start a church there in that village again, but we have not been able to get anywhere so far. Matthew chapter 5. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. I know this is a simple message this morning woven through this report, but I'm just trying to communicate to you this morning the privilege of the ministry, the privilege of being a missionary, and the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't need to be a PhD to preach the gospel. I've often wanted a PhD. A lot of things you can do with a PhD. But that is not the qualification of 1 Timothy chapter 3. Be able to teach the Word of God and to be a man of Christian character. And you can preach and teach. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We include this passage when we preach the gospel. If you will become a Christian, if you will believe on Jesus Christ, you will be persecuted. Are you willing to decide on Christ and believe in Christ knowing that you will be persecuted? And these at the church, Inheritance of Christ Church, have thus chosen by God's grace. Combe in her village has chosen, even though she's all alone out there, she has chosen to believe in Christ. During all of this activity, my wife has experiencing great physical problems, parasitic infections, a miscarriage, herniated discs in her back, all caused her to be bedridden a good amount of time during all this activity. God is blessing and these people are coming to Christ. Church plans we're trying to get going and Bible studies everywhere. Chris and I don't, we have so much to do. We don't have enough time in a day to do it. And my wife is bedridden most of the time. We've got small children. We get to the point of where we're saying we're going to have to go back to the States because we just can't do this unless we get help. And we began to pray for someone to come. And Jennifer Perkins from Mount Calvary, who's here, came out to help us for 4 months and allowed my wife to regain a good amount of her strength back while she helped with the kids. As my wife began to feel better, my health began to fail. I had been struggling all along to a certain degree. But then just after Jen Perkins left, about a month later, I just went straight downhill and got to the point where I was so weak that I couldn't function anymore and had to come back. But we praise the Lord that God has answered prayer and has so chosen to allow me to regain much of my health. And I trust that it'll be even better still by the time we leave December 1st. So that is our report. There are so many things that I would love to communicate to you, experiences that we've had, joys that we have experienced this last 2 years. We have typed up a summary of these things back there on the table. If you're interested in reading about those and rejoicing in the Lord with us about those things, it might help you in your prayers too to know some of these things. It'll be a blessing to you if you can read that. So we thank you for your prayers. Your prayers have been answered. God has worked in that area. Listen, there's nothing that we did to see God work in Posat. For a whole year, we did everything we could to see people come to Christ and even be interested in the gospel, and not a single person. Not one. We send out this prayer letter. People begin to pray even more. The Lord chooses to answer this prayer and bam. We've got so many lost people that want to be taught the Bible, we don't know what to do with ourselves. Two families of missionaries. Praise the Lord. God answered your prayers. So do keep praying for us. We thank you for your prayer. Thank you for supporting our ministry. You know, sometimes I know supporting churches, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, you're supporting this missionary, you're getting the prayer letters, they don't have a church started yet. They've been there how long? And there's that issue in your back of your mind of, you know, your dollars not being used properly. Let's go find somebody else that, you know, seeing something happen and support them. Well, be real careful about that because God's ways are not our ways. And sometimes it takes time to see people come to the Lord. In our case, it took about 2 years before we saw anything. And now we're seeing a floodgate, in a sense, and we want to see more. And we're rejoicing in that. Thank you.
The Lord has used Forrest to be a blessing to us this morning. as we're reminded of God's great work in a very far land, let's seek to be a blessing to Him as we pray together. Father, we thank You for Your grace that is able to work in lives around the globe. Thank You, Lord, that You're a God that answers prayer. Thank You, Father, for answering specific prayer, even as we've been reminded of today, that You would bring these believers together, that You would bless this group. Lord, this inheritance of Christ's church, we thank You for those who have come together to worship You. We thank You for the work of grace that You've done in their hearts. We rejoice to hear of these different individuals, Lord, of how You transformed this sister's life and the seller of cakes, how You brought her to Yourself and saved her and are sanctifying her, and for the bold witness that she's become for Christ. How we rejoice to hear of her husband delivered from drunkenness, the bondage of sin, and Lord, that he's now a brother. We thank You for how You've blessed. We pray for this group that You would continue to bless them and prosper them and use them, Lord, to bring honor to Your name. We pray for this one sister, Lord, Combe, Lord, in a lonely place. We pray that You would multiply Your work even near her, that she would have the joy of fellowship with others, and that You would continue to bring people to Christ. Father, thank You for how You've answered prayer relating to Forrest. Thank You, Father, for changing his physical condition. And we continue to pray for our brother, that You would bless him, that his health would continue to improve. Lord, if it would please You for Your glory, Lord, that he would have the joy of being back in Cambodia again with Jennifer, with the children, that they would have the joy of continuing to work in Cambodia. Lord, that more would come to know Christ, and that they, Father, would lift their voices in praise to You, and that You would even receive more glory in this country. Father, we thank You for this morning that we can come together to worship You, to praise You, to be reminded of what You're doing in the lives of the McPhails. And we pray Your hand of blessing continually on them. We pray that You would be at work in our lives individually, that You would help us to have a renewed desire to bring You glory, that You would help us to grow in our appreciation of Your grace, that the marvel would increase, that our lives would reflect, Lord, Your glory in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.